Hi everyone, I'm Heidi Rogers, and this is Tell the Others. I wanted to create a place for meaningful conversation, life lessons, and parenting hacks. Sometimes I chat to interesting people, sometimes I answer questions about parenting or life stuff, and sometimes I just rant. These episodes are filled with stories and insights that made me say, ugh, I just have to tell the others. So let's dive in to hear what we can learn today. My 17-year-old is staying in her room and isolating and not talking to us as much as she used to. I'm worried something's going on. So classic. For those of you that have teenagers, you will resonate with that because it is such a common thing. The thing to understand about the teenage years is the purpose of it. And if you look at the developmental timeline of children, if you get like a psychology book out and you look at child development and what it says, one of the things that you will see in it is the period of adolescence. So 12-ish, 13, through to about 19, 20, the whole purpose of it is identity formation and pulling away from parents and figuring out who you are, why you are, what you believe. So that's why teenagers do things like dye their hair, get piercings, get tattoos, do drugs, risk take, do stupid stuff. They do all of those things because that's kind of what they're wired to do. That's how they're built. That's what that period is for. It is a leaving the nest sort of period. And that's really hard for a lot of us as parents. It's really painful. There's a lot of rejection that goes on in the adolescent period. That's just really painful. I think about how many clients I've had, either the young people, you know, teenagers that have been my clients, or their parents. And that's a big thing I've just experienced a lot with them, is it is so painful because they are so rejecting and the parents feel so rejected. And I've had so many parents who have told me, dads, moms, I'm scared to knock on her door. I have this one dad who always would say that to me, I'm afraid to knock on her door. I'm afraid she's going to get mad at me or tell me to F off or, yeah. And so I just want to normalize that, I guess, and just validate that you're not doing it wrong or they're not weird. They're right on track. And that's super normal to have that. And what I try to tell parents a lot that are going through the teenage years is you just got to ride it out and you got to trust in your connection and in your relationship and trust and know that they will come back to you, that they have this period where they pull away and they will come back. So with the isolating teen, one part of why they do that is because if I want to figure out who I am, I can't be all up in your business. I don't want to be in the kitchen or the living room with you, because it's too much you time, mom and dad. And I'm trying to pull away from that. I'm trying to figure out who I am and I need my own space to do that. And we know too from research that the last couple of years, because of the pandemic, that's really screwed that up. And a lot of teenagers who normally would have been able to pull away and find their identity and figure out who they are and how they want to be in this world, they've not had that because they've been stuck at home with their parents, which I think is a huge part of why our teenagers are struggling the most. And we know again from research that the demographic of ages 12 to 23 or something like that are the hardest hit by the pandemic. They have the greatest suicidality. They have the greatest depression, anxiety rates right now because basically they were shoved into a situation that they're not wired for over the last couple of years. Developmentally, they were supposed to be out and about and pulling away from their parents. Instead, they were stuck at home and that disrupts the sort of natural flow of how things are supposed to go. So validate. I just want to validate that that's normal. But the pulling away thing and like when they spend all this time in their room is normal and it's so hard. I think what's so hard to discern as a parent is, well, how much is too much and when am I supposed to be worried and when am I supposed to be like that's too much time and do I make her come out for dinner? Do I make her stay? You know, like, and what I go on and on about with teenager parents, and this is probably the most frustrating experience of working with teenagers is working with their parents when they do not listen to me when I say the most important thing you need to be focusing on right now is the relationship and the connection. It is so frustrating because if I look at the behavior that the young person is exhibiting, lying, cheating, stealing, not attending school, drugs, alcohol, risk-taking behavior, whatever, making dumb choices. If a child is afraid of their parents, that they are going to be punished or disciplined in some way, or some privilege will be lost or whatever, they're not going to come to you and they're not going to talk to you when they're in trouble. And we don't want that. We want our kids to screw up and come to us so that we can help them fix it and we can help them learn. If they are constantly in a state of fear that they're going to be in trouble and they're going to be punished, they don't learn. They just try to cover it up. You know, it's like the, they spill something on the rug and then they try to fix it by, you know, pouring bleach or something on it. And they try to clean it up because they're afraid you're going to get mad. And then you say, did something happen to the rug? And if they had just said, yeah, I spilled, you know, fruit punch on it. And then I tried to fix it with bleach. Then you go, okay, well, now I know what's happened and now I can help clean it up and I can get the rug guy and I can tell him what happened. But when you're just looking at the rug going, I don't know what the hell happened, but it's turning all these weird colors, you're at a bit of a loss. And this is the thing that we get wrong all the time when parenting, but definitely parents with adolescents, is this fixation on control. And the fixation on control screws the whole thing up because nobody likes to be controlled, but especially an adolescent. And then if you go back to what I was saying about the developmental piece, there's like a primal thing in them, right? Of I'm supposed to pull away and form my identity. It's a primal physiological pull and desire in the same way that you drink something and then go, I have to pee. You can't turn it off, you know, or like the whole term of your biological clock when you're in your 30s, you know, like I can't just turn it off and just go, I don't want to have babies or whatever, right? There's this pull. It's hormonal. It's physiological. It's not in your control. They don't want to be pulling away. They're freaking out over changes in life and pressure and drugs and sex. And like, they have all this stuff going on. They don't really want to be pulling away, but everything in them is doing it, is making them pull away and reject us and do this, right? So when we fixate on control, the dynamic changes, right? Because then if we're just doing this all of the time, nobody likes that. Think about bosses you've had, relationships you've had. When you're in a relationship with someone who's controlling, it sucks. You don't want to talk to them. You don't want to open up to them. You don't want to be vulnerable with them. You hide from them. You lie. You're not honest because you're not connected, because control shifts the connection and the balance of power, right? So that's why the thing I'm always saying is you want to instead lead your children by influence. And this is from day dot, toddlers. Lead through influence rather than control. All of the control that you have or think you have is a total illusion. And the younger your kids are, the more you believe that it's true that I can control my kids because they're little and you kind of can. You can put them in a crib. You can, you know, lock them in a room. You can say, no, you can't have that. You can kind of get away with it. And then as they get older, and those of you with older kids know what I'm talking about, as they get older, you start to realize, holy shit, I actually have no control. Oh my gosh, I have no control. I thought I had control this whole time and I don't. And sometimes it's around age 9, 10, sometimes it's 15, 17, whatever. You start to realize, holy crap, I actually have no control. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then you're like, I've been parenting. So let's say if it kicks in the teen years, you're like, crap, I have 13, 14 years of practice in the controlling realm. And then now I'm all of a sudden trying to change gears. Doesn't work like that. You can't change gears that quickly. It takes time. And for them, if they have 13 years of experience, 15, 17, 20 years of experience of you being controlling, that's what they think. That's how you're going to respond. So then if you, because some parents who start the program with teenagers will say to me, you know, the kids are still acting the same. Nothing's changing. I'm like, well, of course not, because you have 15, 18 years of you being a certain way. And then you just go, oh, I'm doing Heidi's program and now I'm going to handle it differently. It doesn't work like that. It takes time and you have to be consistent. And what is hard about this work, as all of you know, is it's three steps forward, two steps back. You start doing the program and you're like, okay, I'm not yelling. I'm not being controlling. And then on the seventh day, you have a bad sleep, or, you know, you get in a car accident and then it turns to shit and you're yelling and right, shaming and blah, blah. So back to the control and influencing. If you can focus instead on influence, you will have more control. If that makes sense. I know it kind of sounds backwards. Because think about, and this is the analogy I always give, think about a boss that you've had that you loved, who was so wonderful and kind, and you loved being with them. They were like a mentor. You could screw up and go to them with the mistake and they would like help you through it, and they didn't shame you. It was like, oh, this is a learning experience, you know, that kind of boss. Or maybe if you don't have a boss like that, maybe you have a teacher or a coach that was like that. And do you remember how like free that felt, that you were free to make a mistake? And you still might feel crap about the mistake that you made, but you at least knew, I have backup. I can go to my boss and they can help me clean it up or repair the mistake or whatever. But then if you think about bosses that you've had where you knew you would be shamed, penalized, punished, criticized, taken off a project, you know, punished in a different way, it just was so much scarier. And you would just kind of clam up a lot more and not want to reach out for help. That's not a nice feeling. So when you think about the boss that you felt connected to and that you could talk about your mistakes with, what's the big difference, right? And that's it, that you felt connected to them. And what do you do when you feel connected to someone? You're open to their influence. You want to listen to what they have to say. You have a problem and you go to them. Why? Because they respect you. They're not focused on controlling you. You see the difference? It's respect. Compromise. Let's discuss this. Hey, you came home past curfew. Hey, you screwed up on this. Hey, da 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 da. Let's talk about it. What's going on? What do you think we should do? How do you think we should fix this? And talking to them more like a human rather than a minion or an inferior being. And this again is where I want to bang my head against the wall with so many teenager clients that I've had that are seeing me because they're suicidal or they're self-harming or whatever. And the parent comes in and starts talking to me about their grades or starts talking to me about their room is messy or they're not doing their chores. And I just want to be like, oh my God, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. This part of the house is blowing up and is a total raging inferno. And then the parent is saying to me, they've not mowed the lawn though. Did you see the lawn? And I'm like, did you see the house? The house is on fire and you're asking me about the lawn? Perspective. Perspective, perspective, perspective. So when, back to the original question of the child who's going, she's going into her room and she's isolating. One, equipping yourself with the knowledge of what's normal and what's not normal. And that's what this program is great for, right? You guys know that by now. You've learned so much about what is normal and what I can expect, right, of certain behaviors. And so you know now where my expectations are off and where they're on. And so to manage this parent's expectation about her daughter isolating in her room, that's normal. If it impacts you where you are hyper anxious about it and you can't stop worrying about it and you can't stop thinking about it, that's your work. That's your stuff. You take that to your therapy. You take that to your other friends. You take that elsewhere. To manage the feelings that come up for you. She's not responsible for your feelings. So that's number one is learning. And that's what you guys know this in the program. You learn all of this stuff about what's a normal expectation, what's not, you know, what's my stuff, what's her stuff. So that's one. And then the second thing is this concept of control and influence, because I've had the parents who say to me, oh, we make her come out of her room for dinner, or we make her keep her door open, or we make her whatever. And again, if I go back to my number one, always for any age group, is prioritize the relationship, prioritize connection, and make sure I'm in a position of influence rather than control. Think about how that plays out then. If your boss said to you, you have to come to this meeting, you have to finish that project at this time, does that make you want to hang out with them? No. Does it make you want to take their influence? No. And this is where it gets really tricky, is if that's how you were raised, control, harsh, authoritarian, strict, stuff, the stuff that I say sounds batshit crazy, because what your brain will hear then is, so are you saying they have no rules? Are you saying there's no boundaries? Are you saying I let my kid miss school forever? Are you saying I just let her eat popcorn and candy and watch Netflix all day and be on TikTok? Is that what you're saying? And it's like, no, that is not what I'm saying. That's your brain doing a classic black and white thinking thing. Because what I'm suggesting makes your brain feel anxious. What I'm suggesting threatens the one method and the one way that you've been rolling. I'm threatening that. So your brain goes, your amygdala goes, I don't want to do it different. Wait. So you're saying I should let go? I should not be controlling? Well, then what's going to happen? I can't do that. And to that I say, how's it working out for you? How's that control working? How's that strict, harsh, authoritarian parenting working out for you? And chances are it's not working out. So then I go, well, it's kind of clear then that that method doesn't work. I mean, I know that from doing this for 20 years. You know that because you're living it. And a million other people know that because research has been done on this for decades to validate that control does not work. Authoritarian parenting does not work. Strict parenting does not work. Yeah. And you guys, for those of you that have done the module already, there's a slide I have that says, does strict parenting work? And then I was a bit silly when I made it, but I like scroll through like 700 slides that just have all these different research articles validating it doesn't work. It's highly damaging to their self-esteem, but most importantly, it damages the relationship. And why do I care about that? Because a teenager without a parent is screwed. They need to have your connection. They need to have your relationship so that they can find their way to the shore. That is why you are the lighthouse. Now, if you think about that analogy, a lighthouse is just there. A lighthouse doesn't jump in a police boat and then takes out the guns and the flashlights and go finds your kid in their little flailing dinghy and criticizes them and shames them and says, you did the wrong thing. I'm taking away an oar. You did the wrong thing. I'm taking off your, you know, poncho or your umbrella. That doesn't help them. Teenagers inherently, just the gig of being a teenager is you are flailing around in a very, very choppy sea in horrible weather in a boat you've never rowed before. And sometimes you have both oars, sometimes you have none. Sometimes your motor works, sometimes it doesn't. Being a teenager is inherently hard. And then you have you have the hormones adding to it. And for those of us that have had any experience with hormones ourselves, we know it can make you crazy and make you sad for no reason. So these poor kids have all of this crap going on. Then you have TikTok, then you have the pandemic, then you have beauty standards. And oh my God, it is so hard to be a teenager right now. I have so much compassion on these kids. It is the hardest gig going around. And so then we come in as the controlling parent and go, you didn't row in the right direction. Give me your oar. So the dream is that we go in the lighthouse, we stay in our lighthouse, we beam that light slow and steady. And yes, it's painful because you have to watch them flail about and struggle in their boat. But you stand in your lighthouse and you say, you got this. I'm here. We'll get through this together. Yeah, you made a wrong turn. Yeah, you let on some water. It's all right. Here's how you work through it. And they will be able to hear your voice and take your guidance and your influence if you have a good relationship and the connection is there. When you start abandoning connection and you start focusing on control, you will lose. You will lose them. It'll start by losing the connection and then get more intense and more extreme as time goes on. I don't want that for you. And you guys have heard me say this so many times. The reason I am so nuts about this and I'm so passionate about this is because the number of kids that I have worked with that have gotten to the point of being suicidal, or the adults that I've gotten with that have gotten to the point of suicidal, it all could have been prevented. It all could have been prevented if people around them had responded differently and focused more on freaking connection and not on control. This gets me fired up. So, to our teen who is staying in her room, what do we do? Get curious. Do you want to go get ice cream? Do you want to go fill in the blank of something they like to do? And then in that time of connection or in a drive, I love going for drives with teenagers. It's the best way to get them to open up. No eye contact, less intimidating. And ask them, what's going on? How's your heart? What's hard right now? And then you listen, you validate, you empathize, shut up about fix it mode. Don't go into fix it mode. Nobody likes fix it mode. Teenagers especially don't like fix it mode. Listen, you know, my favorite analogy, I'll show you my favorite analogy of teenagers. This is teenagers. Okay. They come to you and they have all of this stuff and they're like, oh, and if you're listening to the replay and you can't see me, I'm holding like pencils and tchotchkes and headphones and a post-it note. Okay. I'm holding a bunch of crap in my hands. And teenagers come to you with all this stuff and they're like, ah, I have all this stuff. I have school and I have friends issues and I have my fat and I'm dumb and nobody invites me to things. And what am I going to do with my life? And right. And I have all this stuff. And the teenager comes to the parent and they show them all of this stuff. And then the parent goes, now that is a marker. Okay. We'll put that over here. Those are headphones. Okay. We'll put those over here. And that's it. Okay. That goes in the trash. That sits over there. And those, all right. So I just organized all of that for you. Okay. And now what? And the teenager is like, that's not what I wanted you to do. I just wanted to show you my stuff. That's all I wanted. I didn't want you to fix it. I didn't want you to sort it out. I just came to show you my stuff. Well, you know, now that I know that this is what's going to happen, every time I'm going to show you my stuff, I'm not going to show you my stuff anymore. So what do we do instead? They come to us, handful of stuff, and we go, oh, you have a pink pencil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pink pencils. Those are tricky, aren't they? Yeah. They're nice to color in flowers, but then it's a bit tricky when you're trying to color in strawberries because you can't get the color right. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you have headphones. Yeah. The black ones are nice. I've had white ones too. But yeah, the black ones, they're not as good as the white ones. Yeah, I know. Oh, and you have a pink post-it, right? Yeah. How are you feeling about that? Do you like the pink post-its better or the green post-its? If you get curious with them about what is going on and the stuff that they're holding, then they're able to look at it with you. They're able to separate from it. They're able to stand back and they're able to sort through it. The other option that a lot of parents do is they go, why do you have a pink pencil? What is wrong with you? Why would you do that? And your black earbuds? Why would you have those earbuds? Those are the stupidest earbuds. How could you do that? And then what's the lesson? I'm not going to bring you my stuff. That was stupid. Not doing that again. Do you see? If you meet them with curiosity and ask them, why are you in your room all the time? You know, I remember when I was a teenager and all I wanted to do was listen to my depressing, you know, Depeche Mode music and Cranberries. I don't know. What else did I listen to when I was in high school? If you can connect back to your teenage self, you will find a lot of the answers of what your kid's going through. And also, pro tip, fair warning, if you have stuff from your past, if you have trauma from your teenage years, buckle up because your kid will trigger a lot of that. I mean, we all know our kids trigger us all the time, but your kid will trigger you big time with teenager stuff because they're more vocal. They're more sophisticated. They can say things like, you're a horrible person. You're such an embarrassment. Teenagers can say some really hurtful things. Whereas a four-year-old can just say, I hate you. You know, you're the worst mom ever. But teenagers can be cutting. They can serrate you with their tongue. So if you have stuff from your past and your childhood or your adolescence, some unfinished business, some old wounds, I highly encourage you to do some therapy and process some of that so that when you get to the teenage years, it's less painful. Yeah. So for the teenager who's going to their room, I think it's saying to them, I love you. I miss hanging out with you. I know you're doing the teenage thing. I know it's super normal to hang out in your room all the time. I get it. It's totally cool. But I miss you. I'd love to hang out with you. Do you want to go get ice cream? Do you want to go whatever? You want to just go for a drive? We don't have to talk. We can just go for a drive. Listen to Billie Eilish's new album if you want. You want to just go do that? Yeah, cool. And you just go do that. Just be. Connect. Don't teach. Stop teaching. Stop lecturing. Stop monologuing. Just be. So they feel your connection. They feel you're my lighthouse. They feel supported by you rather than criticized, judged, constantly getting it wrong, constantly not good enough, which is how a lot of them feel. That's how we felt, right? Remember, just think back to what it was like when you were a teenager. Yeah. We acknowledge them. We hug them. Teenagers don't get hugged enough. Do you know, one of my 17-year-old boy clients said to me once, I asked him about hugging and I said something like, do you want me to tell your parents that they need to hug you more? And he was like, no, they're pretty good at it. I tell them I hate it. And I always go like, get off me, you know? But I secretly love it. And I was like, I know you all secretly love it. You just have to pretend you don't. And he was like, yeah. Prioritizing the relationship. I cannot stress that enough. Those of you with younger kids, this is why I'm always telling you relationship, relationship, connection, 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 because I'm trying to get you to set the foundation so that when your kids get to the teen years, you cope and you survive and you have a long history of prioritizing the relationship. And hey, you just swore at me. What's that about? I know you're a good kid. So I know you would only speak to me like that if something really big was going on. What's going on? Start that young. Whoa, you just threw something. Whoa, you just lied, cheated, stole. You did something. I know you're a good kid. So I'm curious now, what's going on for you to act like that? Do you see what I mean? It's like, I'm going beneath, I'm going deeper. I'm going, getting curious about what's happening for you. Not what's wrong with you. What happened? You know how when you make a whistle sound, how a dog does that, like, face? That's what I want you to do. Be more curious with your teenagers. Why'd you do that? And then the other thing is reflection. What am I doing? How am I contributing to this? Am I a fun person to hang out with right now? Is she hanging out in her room and hiding away in there because every time she comes out, I criticize her or I bombard her with questions? School, friends, Well, I'd be in my room too. You know, again, connection, 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 get off the control train and get on the influence train. If you want to influence your kid, you have to prioritize connection because nobody's going to take influence from you if you're not connected.
If you're a parent or a professional who works with children and you want my help in improving things with the kiddos in your life, or if you're simply a human being feeling kind of stuck and maybe kind of overwhelmed, my online programs have lots of resources, transformative content, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and a supportive community. If you want to learn more, just go to HeidiRogers.com. All right, friends, thank you as always for tuning in today. Our time is our most precious asset, so I truly appreciate you sharing your time with me. I'll see you right back here for the next episode of Tell the Others.